You starting the show?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Kick it off. Kick it off, Jenny.
Well, I've been waiting for you to do it because it's like sometimes you tell me like that you want to do it.
Just depends on how I feel at the time, I guess.
Okay, so I'm just like sitting there looking at him going, are you going to start it? Yeah. Are you going to start it? Anyways.
It's a daily show.
It's Thursday, you guys, yeah. Which you probably know if you're watching this already.
I can't wait for Friday.
Why?
A drink.
Oh. What are you talking about? We
drink all day. You can tell I want to. I'm trying to put on a fucking show. I'm trying to put
Matter
on an entertaining
fact,
fucking show.
I am almost out of vodka, which yeah, we, I have, although I do have some whiskey though, so I can use that if I need to.
We got enough to have a drink tonight. Okay. But just one.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I don't want any more than one. It's Thursday, for Christ's sake. We're not drunks. Right. Well, really.
And then like but Friday we'd have to go and make a booze run.
Yeah,
I'll get the Mac 10 and my eye patch ready. No, actually, it's cool around here now. It's laxed up a lot.
Well, yeah, there's really not, like I said, we haven't really had too much trouble. It's like, it's a little bit of a pain. Like, it's a little bit of weirdness, like when you go to the, you know, grocery store and stuff, and you just have to, like, walk up the aisles, like, all one way and stuff. But other than that, it's not really, everyone's pretty chill around here. But yeah, so... Did you have anything in particular that you needed to discuss today?
No, not so much today. Just, you know, I was just watching videos about, you know, like the entertainment. I like, there's a show out there on YouTube called Midnight's Edge. And this dude does deep analysis. I sent you a link to it. You didn't get a chance to see it, did
you?
No,
I haven't watched it yet. I was working on something else.
It had to do with Disney. But just of what Disney, this guy here, he's good. He's almost kind of like a... like he's as good as the guy who does all those reviews. What's his name? Oliver Harper.
Yeah.
He's like that good, but he's mostly like about the business behind the scenes,
right,
of what they're thinking, you know, in terms of marketing and everything. And he was just talking about what Disney was thinking with the new Star Wars property and why they did certain things and why The Last Jedi was a certain way, why The Force Awakens was a certain way, and what, you know, all the new movies. He explained every one of them and had a lot of stuff to back it up, like things that were mentioned from, you know, like interviews from people that work at Disney, you know, so and ex-Disney employees, what was going on. It's a pretty revealing video. He just put it out today, Midnight's Edge, about Kathleen Kennedy's and Disney's plan for the original Star Wars. And it was just like a study in what not to do. But I understand the thinking that they thought, you know what I mean? What they were thinking at the time.
Mm.
It just didn't work. You know, overcomplicating things.
That, yeah.
The moral of the story is don't piss off the old fans of any franchise. It comes back to bite you in the ass. That was the moral of the story. But he proved that that's what they were trying to do. I found it to be very interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't, like, you know, watched because, you know. Yeah, I didn't mind the new Star Wars movies, and I don't really, like, care that much to...
Well, I try to learn about things, you know, the business aspects behind it, to learn what to do and what not to do. You know, we're always talking about movies and, you know, series and everything, and it was just kind of goes to show you that Disney was not ready to manage these big fucking movie properties. They just didn't have the experience. Who they were hiring and what they were thinking, and just... It would have been a lot better if it was like in the hands of like a real Hollywood studio that had experience on that kind of stuff.
Right.
They just mismanaged it. But anyway.
Well, shit happens, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, that was fucking expensive property that they fucking crashed
it
into the
was,
ground.
Yeah,
you know?
But, you know, like I said, shit happens. And and that kind of happens all the time with a lot of companies that it doesn't even have to do with entertainment or anything like that. Like sometimes it'll be like some great idea. Some food company, they're like, hey, we're going to buy this fucking, you know, Sara Lee. We're going to buy this, like, food company over here, like, thinking that shit's going to go this way, and it doesn't go the
right
way that anybody expected.
So far,
and so it's like a big money loss.
So far, the best management I've ever seen of any properties was Broccoli, the one that owns Bond.
Yeah.
Over all those decades, they were able to hold that brand together.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there were a couple of bad James Bond movies, but they were all passable, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, got kind of cheesy in the 80s, but everything was cheesy in the 80s.
Yeah, they were just serving the market of the time.
Yeah.
And another example would have been Marvel. the Marvel Universe. That was incredible how they managed those properties.
Yeah, they made all the money ever.
Right. The problem was they made a lot of money and made a lot of people happy. That's not artistic cinema, though. That's the McDonald's of fucking movies.
Yeah, it's like, they're fun.
But they made money.
And it's like, I know a lot of people are into them and stuff. You know, I saw a bunch of them and they were fine. It's not ones that I would, like, seek out necessarily because, in general, I'm not a real big fan of, like, big, like, tentpole type movies. Like, some of them are good and I'll watch them and they're fun and stuff like that, but it's not really my favorite genre or my favorite, you know. I prefer, like, horror movies and you like indie horror movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some good superhero movies, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just, you know.
Superman 1 is a fucking classic, and so is Superman 2.
Yeah.
The old ones. Joker. That was a fucking, that was a super villain movie.
Well, I kind of feel like it's cool now because Marvel did something that they had been trying to do for a long time, like during the 80s and stuff, which was trying to make like a good, like a serious superhero movie, because it seems like for a long time, studios thought, they kind of saw superhero movies as like just stupid, dumb, like for kids, you know what I mean? More, and they didn't really take them seriously as far as storytelling or character development or anything like that. So I think that was one way that Marvel was so successful was they made these, I mean, they're fun movies, but they took them seriously. Yeah. They took the stories seriously.
Although you actually don't have to in a certain way. Because another one that I thought was just absolutely fantastic was fucking Shazam.
Yeah.
And that shit was funny as fuck.
Yeah, I'm not saying that...
And it was true to the fucking...
Yeah, I'm not saying that the movie has to be serious.
Right.
I'm saying that they need to take it seriously, right? And not just do it as some, like, lame-ass cash grab that they don't give a shit about.
Evidently, The Rock had a lot to do with Shazam. I think he produced it, or I think that was done with his...
Yeah, he produces a lot of movies now.
And he said as soon as, you know, 3 days into the... you know, 3 days after opening, he came out on Instagram and thanked everybody and said that part two is on the way. And I'd fucking love to see a
sequel. I really like Shazam.
It's just fun. It reminded me of being a kid. Shazam, you know what I mean?
That's what I mean. It was just a very fun, guileless kind of...
Yeah. You know, what it was like to see a Huber... I felt like I was fucking 12 again watching the fucking Super. You know what I mean? How goofy... It wasn't goofy. Yeah, it was goofy.
It was
goofy, but the tone was perfect.
But fun goofy.
Yeah, for Shazam, that's it.
Whatever happened with, speaking of The Rock, whatever happened with Fighting With My Family, did that do very well? Because
I don't know.
I really liked that movie a lot.
I want that on Blu-ray.
And I feel like it was kind of a little bit underrated or underseen.
Excellent movie. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen Fight With My Family, that's a good fucking movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's a feel-good movie. It's just a good movie.
Yeah.
And The Rock's in it. And,
we reviewed it when it came, because we saw it in the theater when it came out.
Excellent movie. It's probably, somebody's got to be streaming it.
I think I saw it on streaming. Like,
I would like to own that movie on Blu-ray.
Yeah, because I would definitely watch that again.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, like, you know, The Rock is in it. Florence Pugh is in it. She's great. Yeah.
And it's a movie about fucking success, you know what I mean? It's a feel-good movie. You walk out of it going, man, that was fun.
Yeah, even if you don't give a shit about wrestling, which I generally don't, but it's just still like a really good like underdog type story, and like all the personalities of the people are like really
cute
entertaining.
Girls.
Yeah.
Cute girls wrestling.
Cute girls wrestling.
Yeah, fucking The Rock being The Rock. I fucking like Dwayne Johnson.
He seems like a lovely man. It's like really does.
He's man crushable. I just have a man crush on him.
Man crushable.
Man crushable, yeah. I respect him. He just seems to be a nice guy.
Yeah. Something else I wanted to
makes good movies.
He does, yeah.
Even Jumanji, I love Jumanji. It was good.
And he really does seem like he wants to, like he'll put his name and his money behind properties that he likes and that he believes in. So I think that's pretty cool.
Well, he was he in Hobbs and Shaw too? He was in Hobbs and Shaw too. That was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he was in a bunch of those Fast and the Furious movies. Although I think we saw Hobbs and Shaw in the theater, and I think I maybe saw the first one, but that's about it.
That was a big goofy action movie.
It was,
I liked it, though.
I liked it, too, because it just got more and more outrageous, like, as it went on, and I was just like, all right, I'm here for it. Well,
they're not trying
to... The Rock is, like, holding down a fucking helicopter car, like, by a chain and shit like that. I'm like,
They're not trying to deceive you about what kind of movie this is, you know?
Right. That's what I mean. It just is what it is. It's like, you don't have to be like, well, actually, wouldn't be able to do that, blah, blah, blah. It's just watch the shit.
It was the same kind of movie that Arnold would have been in.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, True Lies, something
like
that.
Yeah, it was these like kind of ridiculous, like over the top stunts that probably in real life wouldn't go the way that it goes in the movie.
No, you can't be driving a truck and then holding on a damn chain and keep a helicopter from fucking going away.
Unless you're The Rock, maybe you can then.
Pulling down the... Although, you know, when we were doing sling loads and stuff, you could grab the skid of a fucking helicopter and move it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's just because the pilot's holding the damn helicopter neutral.
Right.
He's just trying to hover. So you could offset it just a little bit. You know, we noticed that.
So it's not that big of an exaggeration.
I mean, no, but if he lifts up, I mean, the thing can fucking lift a fucking...
Then you're just like, oh no! Yeah. That was a stupid idea.
Yeah,
you know. Can fly it off into the fucking sunset.
What do you call a damn thing?
I don't know.
Fucking CH-47s, UH-1s, you know, fucking, what's the name of that? Not the, shit. Black Hawk.
Okay.
Think about Hueys and Black Hawks and Chinooks and shit. You know, Black Hawk can lift a fucking Humvee.
Yeah.
If it wants to go up, it's going up. There, you ain't stopping it.
Yeah, there's not much there's you can no, do about no. that, even if you're The Rock with those right, big, huge arms.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact thing. They were just on that road. Remember that?
Flying off a cliff?
I can't remember exactly what happened.
I just remembered
seeing him doing it. He was trying. He was caught in between something, wasn't it?
He had
wrapped
like
around
two chains
him.
Or there was like
yeah, and he was trying to hold it.
Either that, he was trying to keep the truck from falling off the cliff, or
something like
that. I can't remember exactly what the logistics of it were.
I was just imagining his arms popping out of his sockets at the time. That's what I was thinking. You know what I mean? Because that's what really would have happened. Pop. Would have pulled his fucking arms off like a damn.
That'd have been a whole different kind of movie.
Yeah, like something out of fucking Tale of Two Cities. Yeah. When they were fucking drawing quarter in those dudes. That's what really would happen.
Just tear the shit out of the sockets.
Yeah, and just fucking pop your arms right out of your off your fucking body. Ew. At least one of them would go.
Yeah, just like you were a fucking Ken doll.
Yeah.
Like I used to do, pop their heads and shit off.
Yeah.
All their limbs.
What are we talking about?
Something else
today?
I wanted to talk about too, because remember how we were talking about like some of our favorite new wave and post-punk bands yesterday, and I said I was sure I was forgetting a bunch. Oh, I forgot a bunch.
Okay.
I went through like a list and stuff, and then I had a couple people like in the comments, because I think I mentioned the Teardrop Explodes, and somebody said, oh, you like the Teardrop Explodes but not Echo and the Bunnymen, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I fucking forgot Echo and the Bunnymen. Yeah. Because they're not only
never
do I have like
about Depeche Mode too, because we forgot to mention it.
We forgot to mention it.
You know,
well, like I said, and I made like a list of other ones that
everybody
I forgot that I should have mentioned. But Echo and the Bunnymen, not only do I have like a whole bunch of their songs on my phone that I listen to while I'm walking, but also, as I said in the YouTube comments, they were actually the first live show that I went to when I was 15 years old.
All right.
I saw them at Bob Carr Auditorium, which is not there anymore because I think they tore it down to make the fucking. That big, huge... It used to be called the Orlando Arena, and now it's called the... What the fuck is that big arena called? I don't even remember now. It's like some business.
My first live show concert that I saw, I guess I must have been about 14, 13 or 14, and it was in Mississippi, and I went down to the coast. My uncle... Or my cousin. He was old enough to be my uncle. He was, you know...
Yeah.
Probably about 15 years older than me at the time. Went to go see Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Saw the Turbo Tour.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
It's like, because I do notice that, like,
he had to go down there for a fucking business thing anyway, and Judas Priest was playing.
And they're like, hey.
So he's like, I'll drop you off there, you can watch it and shit. He didn't go with me.
Yeah.
Just, I went there by myself. I was shocked when fucking Rob Halford came out there on stage, and fucking he had a fucking dude on the back of his fucking bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking... They were dressed up in all that fucking...
And you were like, he's gay?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And
you didn't know he was gay?
No, of course
not. Well, I guess you were 13 years old.
34. And then, didn't matter. Fucking to everybody else.
Well,
I guess everybody knew.
Like, I thought it was funny.
But it was, you know, it was in Biloxi, so fucking, you know, the crowd fucking went wild anyway, and fucking dude jumped off. He looked like something... It was like something out of Mad Max. Remember with Mad Max?
It's
like that, and dude jumped off the back. And when he walked off the stage... He was wearing fucking chaps, and he had a fucking bikini shorts on underneath the chaps, the guy.
Yeah.
And on the back of them shorts was a fucking target. Right on his, like a
dartboard
nice. Target.
I love it.
Yeah, he put the... Yeah, it was obvious.
in hindsight,
it's a fucking great show.
I guess when you're 13 or 14 like, years old, it just fuck? Doesn't occur to you. What but the then fuck? Later, you're like, oh, duh.
Yeah, I make it now. I was like, what the fuck? Gotta be a joke. And then the fucking show, fucking joke. It wasn't no joke, but you know, that's how I interpreted it. And then, yeah, it was pretty cool. They had a damn truck or something, and it unfolded like a transformer and turned into a robot shooting damn
holy
fire out
shit.
Of it. My ears were ringing for 2 fucking days.
They were all going all out.
That's how loud that fucking concert was.
Holy crap.
I had to back off of it and go up into the bleachers.
Yeah.
Because they had because it was just fucking my head up.
I kind of feel like all the live shows I've been to, and it must be said, like the fucking, I pretty much listened to a Walkman constantly all during the 80s, which probably contributed to my shitty hearing nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. But yeah, so I can't believe I didn't mention Echo and the Bunnymen. Other ones we didn't mention, which is stupid. I can't believe we forgot to mention Duran Duran, because I fucking love Duran Duran.
What about Legendary Pink Dots?
Legendary Pink Dots, like I said, fucking Psychedelic Furs, Modern English. I saw Psychedelic Furs for free at the Band Shell in Daytona Beach during spring break.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember how old I was, maybe 17, 18. Something like that. But they came and it was them and might have been, shit, Mighty Lemon Drops, I want to say. OMD.
I saw everybody live. Everybody.
Yeah.
When I was up in Detroit, it was...
Every single person.
Yeah, up in Detroit, see Skinny Puppy live before they were kind of famous.
I never got to see Skinny.
Used to get all their demo tapes. They would just give them one for free.
Saw Christian Death, though.
Fucking Sisters of Mercy. Saw them live. That was at fucking...
Yeah, I've seen them a bunch of times.
Yeah. Really, I've told this before to Jenny, the best band I've ever seen live, best performance ever, was Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Billy Idol, the Whiplash Smile Tour.
And the Cult. Was
and the Cult opened up for him. That was fucking awesome. But Billy Idol fucking blew it out of the park. That dude is outstanding live. Steve Stevens, just, it sounds like it does on the record, but it's, You know it's live.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's not lip syncing doing a Milli Vanilli or anything. But that's how good that sound quality was. And the girls are just fucking going crazy. New wave and punk rock girls everywhere.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I think it was around 87, 88, something like that.
I like Billy Idol a lot. I've never been a huge fan of the Cult. I liked some of their early death rocky stuff when they were still Southern Death Cult, and then they were Death Cult for a while, and then they were the Cult, and they kind of went in a little bit of a more glam rock or metal direction, and I was kind of like, "Nah, it's all right," but I never bought anything of theirs. You know what I mean?
Saw the Sugar Cubes when it had Bjork in it. Saw PIL. Of course,
they were all together. Sugar Cubes, PIL, and New Order. Like, did a whole show. I missed that show. Yeah,
New Order was boring. It was boring.
They're a great band, but I can see how it wouldn't be that. Well, it's just like when I went to see like VNV Nation, who I saw a couple times in Tampa. And it's like, I like their albums, but it's just two dudes like standing behind keyboards is pretty much all they have.
Bjork's very good live. And of course, fucking John Lydon fucking just blows it out of the... Johnny Rotten just blows it out of the fucking park.
I never got to see PIL.
Best musician I've ever seen live is Stevie Ray Vaughan. Motherfucker was just... It was like seeing Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
He died a couple years later.
Oh, well, you got to see him before he died.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's...
Saw him with the Couldn't Stand the Weather tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other ones because I can't believe that I didn't mention Swans because I'm super into them.
Yeah.
Also the Cramps.
Yeah, I saw them live.
Saw them live too year or two before Lux Interior died.
Yeah.
And he was still in really good shape. He's just like skinny and he was climbing all over the fucking stage. He had this red leather thing, or red vinyl, I guess it was, like with leopard print. Like, it was this red leopard print fucking outfit, and he's, like, just climbing all over the fucking stage, and he had to be, who's in his 50s or 60s at that point?
I was in the front row, fucking, at Venus de Milo or Axis, I don't remember which one it was, down in Boston, saw Glenn Danzig live when he was at his zenith, and that was, like, the How the Gods Kill tour. He was fucking fantastic. I grabbed his fucking shoe like that, satanic power, fucking went up like that, grabbed his boot, shit, he put up with it, too. He knew I was... vampirizing some of that energy.
Vampirizing.
And next to me, I had 3 fucking Japanese girls, college girls, in that dressed like something out of the damn 50s, and they couldn't speak any English, and they were getting crushed up the stage next to me. They were going fucking crazy.
Well, yeah.
They loved it. They loved it. They were like college freshmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, college freshmen girls.
We also forgot to mention the Jesus and Mary Chain, who I'm really into.
Yeah.
Also, I like a lot of, like I said, I even like some of sort of the late, like, kind of more California style punk rock. I mean, we've probably talked about the Dead Kennedys before. I'm really into them. I also really like Minor Threat from DC. I really like Bad Religion, actually, and I've seen them a whole bunch of times. And then there's, like, I like some kind of random shit. They Might Be Giants. Loy Cole and the Commotions.
Yeah.
That Petrol Emotion, if anybody remembers them. Camper Van Beethoven. The Pogues. Oh, and also XTC. I fucking love XTC. Mm. And we didn't mention Fields of the Nephilim either.
Yeah.
Like they went kind of metal later, too, I noticed. Because I bought one of their albums that came out, probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's almost a straight, like, gothic metal album.
Yeah, and then there was the Mission UK.
Yeah. I wasn't as big a fan of them as...
They had some good songs.
They did have some good songs, though. They were a little... They went a little poppy for me.
Kind of sounded like U2.
A bit like U2. Although I like early U2.
Yeah, early U2 is really good. Like Boy and War.
Yeah, like those two good. But after that...
I like the Joshua Tree.
It took
me a while to get used to that one.
Yeah.
Because it was just on the radios all the fucking time.
Yeah, and that's, I feel like that kind of happened to Depeche Mode, too, because even though, like, when I was growing up and I was really into, you know, the Smiths and the Cure and Depeche Mode and stuff, you know, among other things.
Also, The Police. Remember them?
Yeah, well, that was the first album I bought
with
my own money, was Synchronicity.
Yeah, the Police was good.
And I still listen to that now. I really like that album. But I think the problem occurred... When, particularly in right around 89 or 90, when Depeche Mode came out with Violator and The Cure came out with fucking, what the fuck is the name of that fucking album that everybody had?
Pornography?
Disintegration. And then it kind of just blew up and it went mainstream. Yeah. 1990, I saw The Cure, and that was at Orlando Arena, and there was like 50 bajillion people there. I saw Depeche Mode and Knights Are Ebb. And I also saw them in 1990, and there was 50 bajillion people there. At which point, I was just kind of like, everybody likes this shit now, and it's just seemed like it was going too much toward... Because, I mean, Depeche Mode in particular, my favorite albums of theirs were probably Some Great Reward. Like, they're real early stuff, like pre-1986. You know what I mean?
If you guys like goth music, but you don't like The Cure, or you don't know The Cure, or whatever, listen to Pornography. That's that album called the Pornography album.
82, that came
82,
out.
82, that fuck is just
fantastic. I love that album. That's easily my favorite Cure album, and still is.
Well, they got a lot of good ones, you know.
They do. It's hard
kiss
to pick.
Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me.
Yeah.
Good one. Disintegration. The Top.
I like The Top. I mean, even though it's kind of all over the place, like thematically, but that's kind of one of the things I like about it.
Yeah, Head on the Door. Like that one.
Also a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Even, there was one I didn't like it for a long time, but it kind of grew on me. It was the one after fucking Kiss Me. What was it called?
Now I can't remember. Oh, yeah. I didn't like that one.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, but I kept listening to it, and I was like, man, this is an awesome album.
I mean, I could listen to it now, maybe, and I'd have a different... Yeah. Because I don't even remember hardly anything about it, because that's the one with Friday I'm in Love on it, right?
Yeah, when it came out,
I still don't like that song.
When it came out, I didn't like it, but then... I just kept listening to it, and I was like, no, this fucker's pretty good. It takes a while to get
some
used
shit
to...
has to grow on you. It's like, you know what I mean? And even, like, some albums by bands I like, sometimes I'll get a new one, and I'll listen to it, and I'm like, meh, and then, like, I'll put it away for a little while, but then I'll listen to it again, and I'm like, oh, this is actually...
We didn't mention The Furs. The Furs was good in the fucking early part of The Furs. I didn't like it. It went too pop, eventually.
What,
Psychedelic Furs?
Yeah, I mentioned them a little bit ago.
Right.
They were, I remember them being one of the first kind of new wave, quote unquote, bands that I got into, because they used to play Love My Way and Pretty in Pink and stuff on MTV.
In the early days,
it was them, and it was like Modern English and stuff. And those were among the first like cassettes or albums that I bought. The Police was the first one that I bought, but then I got like...
There was a band out there that was tight as shit. I mean, they were fucking really good, and they had a lot of albums. But they're really only known for one song, but they're really good if you fucking have them. And they're pretty deep. And people don't think about it, but fucking Devo.
Yeah.
I fucking loved Devo.
Yeah.
Going back from, you know, the very first one, Are We Not Men?
Yeah.
And then, you know, fucking, what was the one? Duty Now for the Future. Fucking has a really good one. Then there was Freedom of Choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the new traditionalists.
So much good shit from back then, man.
A lot of good stuff.
Boingo Boingo. There's like all kind of great shit.
Yeah, I forgot about them.
There's just like so many good bands from back then.
Yeah, they had Only a Lad and what was the one, There's Nothing to Fear, I think. Yeah. That was another good album.
Everybody knows Dead Man's Party because they played it like every Halloween party. Yeah, that was later on. That one, that's like overplayed, though.
Right.
I wanted to say too about Modern English. I think everybody only knows Modern English because of I Melt With You.
No, that whole album is badass.
That album, which is called After the Snow, it came out in 1982. I had that whole album and I used to listen to that over
and
over.
That whole album is badass.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I love that song still, even though it's, you know, been played out the wazoo. But that album is still a great fucking album. And not as mainstream, quote unquote, as you might think. You know, considering how popular that song was, that's like easily the poppiest song on it.
It was as good as, say, like a U2 album, YouTube album, or U2 album.
YouTube
album. I'm so used to saying YouTube.
Nobody wants that.
Probably like a U2 album, I would say. Early U2 album. Kind of. That's how I remembered it. Being that as good as that.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like that, but it was as good as that.
Yeah. I mean, I wore that shit out. Yeah. I had it like, and I recently just bought it again because I was buying up like a bunch of like, not, you know, just downloading stuff from iTunes and everything like that because I don't have any of my records anymore. I just have like a few that I kept, but for a while when I was broke, I sold a shit ton of them on eBay and I didn't have a record player. So I figured I might as well get rid of them, even though
now all that vinyl's coming back.
I know. It's like now I wish I had a bunch of that stuff because I had, and shit, for a long time, because I was super into like Duran Duran when I was you know, in like the early to mid 80s, and then for whatever reason, like for a while I went off them. It's like, that's too poppy, that's too mainstream and shit like that. So I had this huge box of Duran Duran stuff. I had like all these fucking 12-inch singles, all this rare shit that I had got for, like, from Europe and all this other stuff. And I gave it all to a friend of mine because she was like really into them. So
probably worth a lot of money now.
And I know it's like, so every day I wish I still had like all that stuff. So I had to go and like download all of their albums again because I had given all of them away.
I have everything from Billy Idol, fucking, and it's probably like New Condition at my dad's house.
Yeah,
all of them.
Oh, he still got all that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think all my records are gone.
All of them are there.
Which I think the only vinyl I have left is some rare like Misfits thing that was like autographed and stuff. And I said, well, obviously I'm not selling that. I got to keep that shit. But yeah. So you want to wrap this up for Thursday? It's Thursday, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, stay safe out there as usual, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.